1907 down on what is now Fort de Russy property near the present Hawaiian village in the district of Kalia. Joined the outrigger sometime around 1916, because I can remember getting in the big surf when I was 10 years old in 1917 and getting frightened out of a year's growth. Stop it?
Yeah. All right.
The 9 and 10 year old kids learned to surf in front of the Moana and in front of what is today the Royal.
How big were the boards in those days?
Most of the boards were 10 footers made of cedar or redwood. And we're not allowed out into the big surf until the Huinalo group decided that we were competent to go out there. And first time I remember going out there, I got into too big a surf for me and got scared out of a year's growth and came hustling back in. I was then about 10 years old. And Sam Kahanamoku was one of the so-called policemen out there who decided who was allowed out there and who wasn't. Spending time at Punahou was in the old little pool, which was surrounded by a wooden fence. And some of us little boys would go in there and swim when we didn't belong in there. And one day Bill Kanakanui decided that he'd teach us a lesson, and every time we came out, he'd dunk us back in and hold us under water. And when I was about 3/4 drowned, he finally decided to let me go. The Waterhouse Pool was built in 1923, named for Elizabeth Waterhouse, who was killed in an automobile accident on Kauai. And I did not start swimming until I was about as competitively a senior at Punahou, swimming under Dad Center, and my swimming career was very limited because Dad decided that I should swim 100 and I thought I should swim 50, and about then Dad cut me off and told me to forget it. Going back to the time around the old Outrigger Club, at lunchtime we'd all eat under the how trees there, and the crab boys would throw their plates across the fence into the Royal Hawaiian rather than taking it back to the kitchen. And a lot of the younger boys broke the eating utensils into little pieces. And that's the only crime that I didn't commit. And I was called in front of the board of directors, and nobody would believe me. And I was bounced out for 30 days in the summer. So I decided to come back, since I'd been shoveling sand for 2 weeks for my dues. I decided to climb through the back window and change in the locker room, and they caught me, and then I was bounced out for 90 days. The next time they caught me, I quit and was invited to join the Huinalo, and spent the next 20 years over with the Huinalo. In 1929, the Leeds family came over from England, and in order to entertain them, the Beach Boys started up a competition called Surfboard Water Polo in front of the Royal Hawaiian, and the Outrigger had a team, and the Huinalo had a team. And it was 7 men on each side playing with an inflated ball, something like a soccer ball, and the object of the game was to throw the ball through 2 markers to score a goal. And with 14 surfboards on a small field of water, the collisions were quite frequent, and there was considerable difference of opinion as to the violation of rules. But it was very interesting competition, and the Leeds family from England enjoyed it so much that they put up individual trophies for all of those who competed. Inter Island Canoe Paddling Competition was really started by Dad Center and George E. E. Brown and probably Charlie Amalu and Lauren Thurston, because Thurston was promoting travel into Kailua Kona, and the first races were held in Kalakakua Bay in the summer of 1933 with three teams from Oahu Outrigger, Puinalo, and the Queen Surf, and three teams from the Big Island, Mililii, Kailua, and Honaunau. And Outrigger won the senior race the first year. And following 2 years, the races were held in Kailua Bay.
I remember that race. We went up, there was Ruth Gilmar, Ruth Scudder Gilmar, Oma Haley, Ann Barkey, who later became Mrs. Edric Cook, and I went up on the Waialeale as excursionist to see the Kona races. Now, prior to going up, Dad had said to me, well, Squeaky, why don't you get a crew together? Because then you can race against the women up in Kona. And I said, oh, no. And Dad, of course, was always full of jokes, so I didn't take him earnestly. Well, we got up there, and we were watching the races and having a very good time way up on the top. And all of a sudden, Lauren Thurston came out with a megaphone. And he was on his boat, and he yells, Squeaky, Dad wants you to get your crew together. And so I said to them, come on, this is our cue to get off the boat. We'll go in and we'll have fun. So we grabbed, there was also Ginger Joyce on board. And so we grabbed her, and the five of us went aboard Lauren Thurston's boat and went ashore. And when we got there, Dad said, well, now, come on, you girls are going to have to race. And I said, oh, no. He said, yes, you are. And I said, which canoe? He said, the Hanakuyoki. And I said, oh, Dad, that's so big. I said, will you put a boy in front of me and let me go out a ways and see how to steer it? Because I had only steered a 10-foot canoe. And he said, oh, you'll be all right, you'll be all right. And so we got to Dot Ruttman Lambert. She was there also. That made up the six crew. So we started out, and I steered the canoe, and as Gay Harris said, but we went out just as straight as could be, and very nicely, and the Coast Guard acted as the officials. And, of course, we flirted with all the Coast Guard people out there.
Waving and smiling.
And had a great time. And we waited and waited and waited and waited. And finally, the other crew came along. And they were elderly women and all white, long hair. And they were in muumuus. And the top of the canoe was just about 3 or 4 inches from the surface of the water. They were voluptuous. And they came out just paddling very steadily out and got out there, and the Coast Guard explained the rules and regulations to them, and all of a sudden we lined up, and as Gay Harris said, he said, gee, I looked, and he said, Squeaky, I thought you beat the gun. You just went out there so fast. And then he said, I looked again, I had to shake my head. He said, I couldn't believe it. You going around in a circle. And then we were headed right for the judge's boat, and we had to yell to the judges to get out of our way. I couldn't handle that canoe. We mowed down a couple of flags. We went all over the place. And the other group won, but they won by just a very, very little. Had we gone straight, we would have won. But it ended the way it should have, because the Hawaiian women won the gold medals, which were put up by Princess Kabananakua. And that's
wonderful.
And that's the way it should have gone. Then we became crew, and we mingled with all the crews there and had a great time, and of course participated in the luau for all the crews at Napopo. And when that was over, we went with the crews to Kailua, Well, then we became excursionists again, and we went to the other luau. And finally, we left on the Waialeali at midnight.
Isn't that fun? How long did it take to get back then on the Waialeali?
Well, we got back there, I think, the next morning.
Oh.
Yes, because we left around midnight.
But you've never pursued canoeing since?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. After we got back to Honolulu, we decided that we really should paddle and show the others that we could paddle,
oh.
You know, and not just put on a comedy yacht. So we did get in and train, and I paddled in one race after that. I didn't steer, though. Somebody else.
But was Dad that. Running? Was he the coach
oh,
then,
he
for the
was.
Paddling
oh,
teams,
yes,
too?
Oh, yes, he was. Very definitely.
Terrific.
The paddling in Kona lasted through 1935, and then in 1936 it was the inter-island paddling was in Honolulu Harbor, and the Honaunau people swept the bay that year. Then the inter-island paddling ceased until after World War II, and the Waikiki Surf Club and the outriggers started it up, I believe, in 1945 or 46 on a formal basis, and they later formed the Hawaiian Canoe Racing, and then it was called the Surfing Association, which is a forerunner of the present-day HCRA, and the women were brought into it sometime after World War II. Dad Center found the Malia hull somewhere in Kona in the early 1940s, and he brought it to Honolulu and turned it over to the Waikiki Surf Club, and this canoe is the basis upon which all the today's fiberglass canoes are constructed.
Do you know anything about the history of the canoe, who did it originally, and when it was
done? Most of these old canoes were stashed away in Kona in various locations. The canoe, the core canoe of the Kaiapua in Kailua was found under a church, hadn't been used for 30 or 40 years, and was found by someone under one of the Hawaiian churches in Kona, and lots of the older logs were found stashed away in the hillsides of Kona. And there was a canoe called a Malolo, which belonged to the Kaupiku family from Mililii. I think came from Mililii, and later was broken up in the Molokai race and in the tremendous strains of the Molokai rough weather. That canoe was lost at that time. In 1954, the Waikiki Surf Club builders, George Downey and Wally Froyseth, slimmed down a 34-foot canoe called a Lanakila, and then built up the hull with fiberglass, and it resulted in a very light canoe that nobody could get anywhere near keeping up with. So at the end of the paddling season, I was a president of the Canoe Association, and I reminded these two men that there would be no further canoe competition. What should we do about it? They said, we'll form a committee and we'll weigh all the racing canoes in the state. And the upshot was that it was decided that the hull of a racing canoe would be set at 400 pounds and no less. This meant that the Waikiki Surf Club little Lanakila had to be discarded because it was 265 pounds. The outrigger had to build up their smallest racing canoe from 365 to 400. And today's races are based on this limitation all over the state. No one can paddle with a canoe hull that weighs less than 400 pounds. Coming back to my origin here, my folks came from Rhode Island in October 1898, came up to this island, the Big Island, by small inter-island vessel, landed in Kailua, Kona, and took 1 month to get around to Hilo by horse and buggy and horseback, which must have been a wonderful trip. And my sister, I think, has the written recording of their travels. After my folks returned from the Big Island, they ended up out in Waianae in Makaha Valley, where my mother worked for $40 a month as a school teacher, and my dad was raising limes and coffee in the upper part of Makaha Valley. And after a couple of years of that, the finances ran out, and he went to Honolulu and went to work for Allen and Robinson, then into the Waterhouse Trust Company, where he stayed until the trust company went down the drain in 1932.
All right, Squeaky.
I'm Marikan Westlaw Jackson. I was born in 1906 in Honolulu, and my parents came from Bremen, Germany. My father got to Honolulu aboard a sailing vessel and went around the Horn. He arrived in Honolulu in 1895. My mother got there earlier. She came with a Schmidt family and came along with them to teach the children German.
Isn't that amazing?
They met each other in Honolulu. They knew of each other in Bremen but had never met. And they were married. And I was born in 1906 and went to Punahou in first grade. And later on, I learned to swim in the old pool, a 15-yard pool. Mrs. Driver was the instructor, and she was there, I think, about a year or so. And then Helen Jones came along. She later became Mrs. Farah. And she was a marvelous teacher. She wore an Annette Kellerman bathing suit, and she used to porpoise. And I loved to get on her back and hang on to her while she porpoised. And
of course, how old were you then, Squeaky?
I must have been around 10 years old or so.
I see.
And when I was 13, each September they would examine the children at Punahou, and I had a bad cold at the time, and the doctor thought I had a heart murmur, and they asked my mother to come to Punahou, and she went, and they told her that they thought that I had better be kept out of school a year, and my mother wouldn't hear of that. And she insisted that I continue school, and so Punahou said that I could not take the physical ed program, and they wouldn't take any responsibility for me. And so I joined the Outrigger Canoe Club and learned how to surf at that time. And that was in 1919. And that's when I swam my first race.
What kind, what was your, 50-yard dash?
No, I think it was 40 yards novice or something like that.
In the ocean?
No, that was in the YMCA pool, the old YMCA downtown.
Was Dad the coach?
Oh, yes, he was. And that was one reason why I went to the Outrigger, because I'd heard about him and how wonderful he was. And then I started training.
In spite of your heart murmur?
Oh, yes. And then, well, I had a bad cold at the time they tested me, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next year, when we had our examinations again, they said there was nothing the matter with me, so I promptly took phys ed, too. And
but
that's how I started swimming.
What was the impetus to get you into the Olympics? Was it Duke? Was there a great deal of excitement in Honolulu about the Olympics?
Well, Helen went to the 1920 Olympics, and then we had a number of mainland swimmers who came after that. There was a Felda Blibtree and Charlotte Boyle and a few others. So we did have a few meets in between 20 and 24.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was selected to go in 1924. And Mrs. Fulad Leo was my chaperone.
That's
and
right.
I went to Briarcliff Lodge, where the women's tryouts were, and I won the 100 meters, and of course made my berth on the team then. And we went to, the Olympics were in Paris. So we boarded the ship in New York and trained going over the Atlantic Ocean.
And their pool on the...
We had a tiny canvas pool. They would harness us in, and we would swim. Each person would swim for about 15 minutes, and we'd swim once in the morning and once in the afternoon. And that was our training, since it's about training.
Primarily for just the exercise.
Yes. In joining the Outrigger Canoe Club and Dad Center's swimming team, I started training, and that training then consisted of swimming each Friday evening at the Punahou Pool. That we did that practically year round. However, if a meet was coming on, then we would train Tuesday and Friday nights, and in between we would swim down at the beach.
Oh, they did have lanes set up for you so you could actually practice your swimming in the ocean or in the bay?
No, not at all. We just swam out in the ocean wildly, through the waves and all. We thought we were training very, very hard in those days, but in comparison to what they do now, it was child's play.
Well, what about the Alawai Canal? Someone said, you tossed them in or they tossed you in.
I remember swimming a mile in Alawai once. But there were occasional meets down in Honolulu Harbor, and the course, I believe, was 50 yards or 100 yards. And they put up lanes. The lanes consisted of ropes with some corks on them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we trained down the harbor prior to those meets, too. And that wasn't any too clean either.
No, but is salt water much easier to swim in?
Yes, it is. It's easier than fresh water.
So it doesn't give you the resistance that you really need if you're going to be competing in a pool.
That's right. As I said, the 24 Olympics were held in Paris. The girls were housed out at Chateau the Prince Murat, and we had the two gatehouses. The women, or the girls who won first